Well, good evening. I'd like to maybe continue along the same vein that we had this morning about the stones that we might have in our ground, in our lives, in our experiences. I've become quite fascinated with some of the things I've discovered doing a little studying on this topic. And we talked this morning with the help of the Lord about the things that we sometimes are dealt in life. Sometimes we get some hard places because of poor decisions and poor choices and sins that people have committed in the past, and we realize there's something we need to get dug out of our life, and we need to do something with it. We're trying to farm around it, and we need to get it out of the way. But a lot of times, the things that we are dealing with in stony ground is characteristics in things that's been dealt us by circumstances in past generations. We all have carryovers from past generations. It's what makes marriage such an adjustment process is when two people come together and they've both been from maybe different background. Everybody's from a different background. And I've told you some of those things. And one of the things that happened in our home is my mother was someone that was real. I just thought that all women was like my mother. I mean, that's pretty safe conclusion, right? If whatever your mama did, that's what you thought all women would do. And I found out, not that it was bad, I just found that the woman that I married, she didn't come from the same background. Even though we went to the same camp meetings and all of that, there was just everyday things was different. There was things that was higher priorities, and there were things that were of lesser priorities. So we come together and we start merging things together and making the adjustments in our individual lives as a husband and a wife. But the stones I'm talking about is these serious obstacles that keeps us from being able to interact with one another or interact with other people, causes us to be abrasive to other people, causes us to be difficult for us to grow as a Christian or perform in the workforce. So what do we do with these stones? Maybe somebody could give me a, please don't embarrass me or embarrass yourself, but what comes to your mind as a stone that we might have to deal with in our everyday lives? Maybe something from a past generation or something. Okay, the feeling of rejection is a stone that sometimes it can be a serious obstacle. We don't even have to have someone say, "I don't like you. I don't want you. I don't want you to ever come see me again." We don't even have to have that, and we can have that feeling of rejection. Just because of behavior of other close family members or maybe acquaintances, we can feel that rejection and push off, and we can be suspicious that nobody wants to be around us. Okay, and that can be a real hurdle. Anything else? Afraid of failure, afraid of not meeting expectations. A lot of times, if as a young person, or maybe it could be family, it could be in the classroom, that we got told many times, or that we couldn't do it. We might as well give up. You're never going to be able to do this. And people just kind of give up on us. We've heard stories about people that were very intellectual, and yet they didn't do so well at school. I remember a story being told about, I believe, Albert Einstein, that when he was in school, he pretty much was a failure, and they kind of told him to, his parents to, he don't belong here, he needs to go home or something. And later on, he's one that came up with some remarkable theories and put some application to his theories in physics, and made some incredible discoveries about energy. And yet, his teachers thought that maybe he was the one that didn't hardly learn to ride a bicycle or something like that. You would think if anybody couldn't ride a bicycle, they had no business trying to read. You know, wouldn't that be a hurdle to try to overcome? So what do we do with these rocks? Whoever owned the place in the past generations, there was an owner that lived there a good period of time before me, where I live. I think he bought the place in the early 60s and lived there until he passed away, somewhere around 2000. So he lived there 35 years or 40 maybe. And he didn't do anything specific with the rocks. I don't know how many of those rocks he picked up. It may have been the 100 years before him that picked up most of the rocks. I don't know that. But I'll just give him some credit and say that he picked up some of those rocks that was around my place. But he didn't have a real purpose with them. I don't have a chicken house that was made out of rocks. I don't have a rock fence. It looked like they took the rocks over to the fence and just throwed them over on the other side next to the creek. And there's just kind of a ridge of rocks along there. They're not stacked up in any order. There's trees growed up amongst them, and there's just kind of piles of rocks along there. But there are other places in our area, our county, and you go down into Newton County, and there's countless buildings and structures around old farm places that were made out of rocks that they picked up out of the field and maybe put a little mortar with them. And certain areas of the country, maybe even in this area, they actually built rock fences with a method they called dry stone. Didn't have any mortar, they just stacked the rocks. You can go to Kentucky and there's a little field stones, that they, flagstone or whatever they pulled up as they were plowing the land. And they stack them neatly. There's fences that's probably well in excess of 100 years old today that they built by taking the rocks they plowed up out of the field and stacking them without any mortar. There's even some that say because the a dry stone fence is able to move a little bit with freezing and thawing, that it'll outlast a fence that has mortar with it. So, what do you do with your stones? What do you do with your rocks? What do you do with the things that you pick up out of your life? I'm going to recommend that we build a fence, that we build a wall, that we build something that, what does a fence do? What's that? It establishes a boundary. It's also a barrier. So in some of my pictures I looked at on the internet, I found a dry stone fence that was built in Ireland or someplace like that, and they had something in called a sheep creep. You ever heard of a sheep creep? It was just a little hole where sheep could go through the stone fence, but a horse and a cow couldn't go through. But it was a fence that had a purpose. It had it was tall enough to keep livestock in, big livestock, but they had a little hole where you could let the sheep go from one pasture to the next. What happens, what would have happened if they just left the rocks in the field? Had stony ground, right? And you stony ground, it's hard to cultivate. It's hard to get a good production out of the land. But when we begin to pick up the rocks and pick up the stones and we begin to build a fence, we establish a boundary. On the other side is they can choose to pick up the rocks or not. On the other side, in our spiritual lives, that's the enemy's territory. And if we build a boundary, we know that what's this side is the Lord's side. And we're endeavoring to pick up the rocks, build a fence, establish a boundary between right and wrong. Okay? I'd like for us to consider some that built some fences, that built some walls, that built some things, not because they just felt inspired in themselves, but they had an obligation to build something to survive. You know, if Noah had never built an ark, he wouldn't have survived. He would have perished with all the wicked people. And you know, I think Noah was the type of man that would have been satisfied to live his days out on this earth and just do his thing and live pleasing to the Lord. But he took the hard place that he came up against, realizing that it was, and God told him, you need to build something here. And he built an ark. And it provided safety for him. Well, think of Daniel and his three friends. They were put in some difficult places, weren't they? What did they do with them? They built something that others looked to for generations when the ruling government changed from one form of government and one group of rulers to another. What happened? They always rose to the top. Because of why? They had kept the wicked things out of their life. They took the opportunity to deviate from what God's commandments were, and they, instead of yielding to that, they built a barrier and said, I won't go any farther than this. I won't eat the king's meat because, not because it might have been a permissible food to eat, but I'm not going to eat it because it's been offered to his gods. This is a barrier. This is as far as I'm not going over there. So I built this place and it became a strong place for him. When difficulties came, who did they call for? When everything else failed, they came to him. When he was put to the test, are you going to comply with the orders of the king not to pray to anything except him? Daniel did what? He took that stone and he set it up and made a wall out of it. He went ahead and prayed. And what happened is he was put in the lion's den, probably as an old man, what we would consider an old man. He was put in there and the lions didn't touch him all night long. And he came out of there and was established in a place of much higher respect than if he had never built that wall. So here's what I got to say for us tonight. If we find those places and you want to say, why me? You ever thought about saying that? Have you ever said that? I would have to say that I've at least said that to myself. Why is it me? Why has this happened to me? We've probably all at least thought that or said it to ourselves. But if we go down that path, that hasn't moved the rock. That hasn't helped us at all. But if we'll say, maybe we don't understand, but if we'll take the rock that we come up against and begin to build a boundary, I'm not going there. I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to follow after the wickedness that everybody, you know, Noah had the opportunity to, how many wives do we know that Noah had? Just one. You know, there were people all around him that had multiple wives. There was all kinds of sinful activity going on. He could have been part of that, but he didn't do it. He built a barrier. He built a wall. He said it wouldn't go there. No, God was at a place he would have destroyed the whole race of mankind, but he couldn't because of who? Because of Noah. Because Noah had established boundaries in his life and said, I won't go there. He took the places of temptation. You know, temptations can be rocks for us. And we can take those temptations and start building boundaries and preserve our soul. And he not only preserved his own soul, he preserved his children's souls too. So I want to challenge us here when we find whatever disappointment it might be. Maybe it's something that's been dealt us. Maybe it's something that comes our way because of our surroundings, the environment we're working in, the environment we live in, the people that come into our lives. There's things that's presented to us that could be stumbling stones, that could be something that trip us up. I want to challenge us to pick up the rocks, but don't just throw them over the fence. Don't just throw them over a little ways. Let's build a wall. Let's build a barrier. Let's build something that'll keep the enemy out and help us maintain the presence of the Lord on the inside. You know, Nehemiah didn't tear down the walls of Jerusalem, and he didn't displease God that ordained that it did get tore down. I want to read a little bit in the book of Nehemiah. I would like to go to the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah. And just realizing that Nehemiah had went down here to Jerusalem from the presence of the ruler, the king, in Shushan. And he went down there. He says in the 11th verse of the second chapter, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon me, So he says in the 13th verse, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. So I'm going to stop right there. Notice when he went out a specific place, and it was such a rubble around the walls that had been torn down, the rocks and the stones were all tossed off to the side, that he came to a place that even his horse couldn't navigate it, or the donkey or whatever he was riding. He couldn't get through because it was such a jumble, and maybe, how long had it been torn down? Somewhere around 70 years. That's how long they had been exiled to Babylon. I don't know, give or take a little bit, maybe. But what happens in 70 years around here? You ever walk by? This time of year is a good time of year to go drive through the countryside and look out in the trees, and you're liable to see, I know a couple places I could take you by within a few miles of my house. There's an old house back in there. It was built out of rock. The roof's all rotted and fell off. The windows and doors are gone, but the rock walls are still there. But there's trees growing in up inside the house and out the windows and the doors and all of that. And that's what this place looked like. I believe it was not only rubble, but there were sprouts and trees and bushes and briars and thistles and you name it. It was a mess. They couldn't have kept it. The goats couldn't have grazed it very well. It was just, it got to where his horse couldn't go or his donkey or whatever he was riding. And you know, sometimes life looks like that. It looks like we just got a lot of rubble all around us. It looks like there's everywhere we turn, there's a stone that needs to be moved. And you know, it was too big a job for him and himself. My understanding is that he was the king's cupbearer. Am I got that right? And you know, if I was the king and I was looking for a cupbearer, I would find somebody that a cup was just about the right size for. I wouldn't want somebody that was intimidating to me. It'd be a small looking fella that would be my cupbearer. Now, that's just my thoughts. I have nothing to back it up. So I just got this picture in my mind that Nehemiah wasn't somebody that was overly impressive with his stature. Just kind of maybe a slender fella and kind of below average height and maybe with a kind of a timid disposition and, yes, sir, I'll get you another cup full of whatever you want. That's the kind of person I think he was. But he showed up with God's approval and anointing on his life, and he went out and surveyed the damage, and he knew there's no way he's going to put this all back together. But what he went and done was he inspired each one that was in Jerusalem, and we could begin to read the third chapter, and you would hear me pronounce a lot of names wrong, okay? So I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to challenge you in your time this week. You read through or tune into it and listen to it somewhere. Listen to the third and the fourth chapter of Nehemiah and how each one of those builders came together and they took up a little section of the wall. Some of them had a gate to rebuild. Some of them just built the wall. Some of them were, and it got to the place because they had so much conflict and persecution from outside influences that they began to have to work with one hand and carry a weapon in the other. Or one of them worked while another one was on guard. You know, we have to be willing, as we come here in our little chapel here and we come together, it's too big. It may be too many rocks that needs to be built up in our community. I wish that our neighborhood would begin to turn their hearts toward, there's a lot of rocks in people's lives around here. I wish one family would come and another family, and they would realize they can take the stumbling stones, the repeat failures that are happening over and over and over in their life, and they can turn those things around and make a wall out of it and put a barrier between themselves and failure, between themselves and poverty, both spiritual and literal poverty. Did you know that the scripture promises if we'll seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, all these other things would be added to us. We're going to have things. We're going to have food and shelter. I really believe we'll have that if we will seek, especially in our nation, if we'll seek the Lord We can be able to take the rocks, the things that's temptations, the things that are chronic family traditions. You know, I had a young man tell me one time that I asked him how he was doing in school, and he let me know that, you know, he had a name to uphold, and he was part of the troublemakers in school, and his family name was just had a tradition of being hard to get along with, and if there was any kind of nonsense going on, he was part of it. And he never ended up graduating. Well, what? He just stumbled over the rock. He could have took that stone and made a wall and said, what did Joshua say? It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I take this thing that's a place of failure. So what? If your siblings and your parents and your grandparents or your whole neighborhood or the whole city, so what if they all fail? Let's take that rock and put it over here on the dividing line and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. From now on, had a supervisor told me that one time. He had something he was all disturbed about it. He said, from now on, this is the way we're going to do it. You know, with God's help, we can take the things that's been failures in the past. We can take the things that's been causing us to backslide, that's causing us to still have to have milk instead of strong meat. We can take those things and say, I'm not doing that anymore. With God's help, I'm going to take this thing out of my field and I'm going to put it over here in the wall where it belongs and know that I'm not going on the other side. I'm not going to go over there and knock my wall down. Nehemiah, come back. He inspired these people and they all began to work. I want to notice here in the fourth chapter, in the sixth verse, he said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. You know, that is an incredible asset. You have a mind to work, a desire to do something different than just stumble over a bunch of rocks. Stumble over a bunch of things that's hang-ups. And, you know, I believe with God's help, we can be born again. We're a new creature spiritually. So spiritually, those things that we stumbled over in the past, identify them. You know, sometimes I got a place in my yard right now. I just have to confess to you. I got a place in my yard. If I don't go over it just right, I skin all the grass off and I see sparks if it's a little bit dark because my blades hit some rocks. And there's something surfacing out there in my yard and it's called a rock. And what I need to do, good Lord willing, I'm going to have it done before I'm mowing next year. I got to go out there and dig that rock up. I got to dig it up or cover it up, one of the two. I got to get that thing where it don't cause me that problem. You know, that's what we need to do spiritually when we're coming up against these places that we this looks familiar. You know, this caused me trouble last year. This caused me trouble 10 years ago. I'm not going to put up with it this time. With God's help, we're going to identify this thing. We're going to bust it up in little pieces. We're going to dig it up. We're going to do something so we can have some victory. Make a wall out of it. You know, when I came as a young man and entered into marriage with my wife, I told her, I said, you know, there's some things that I want to do different. There's some things that I'm determined with God's help to be stronger. There was a rock in my past that I want to dig out. I don't want to put it in a boundary somewhere. I'm not going across that boundary with God's help. And God's helped us thus far. And He will help you, each one of you. Identify the things that's caused you to have a hang-up. And, you know, it's one thing to have aspirations to be great and all of that, but it's another thing to say, Lord, I know there's a problem area over here. And I don't want it to just be something that knocks the edge off my lawnmower blade. I want it to be something I can dig up and put in a wall. Build something that makes a boundary between me and the enemy. Something that's not just a boundary, but it becomes a strong point. You know, there's things that you might have failed with in the past. There may be some areas that you look back and say, that's been a stumbling stone for me. When you put it in a wall and you make it your boundary, you can be a pillar in that area. You know, we have a song in our book, comes to my mind. I believe it's number 122. It says, if you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must overcome the world. You must overcome the world. Die to fame and reputation. Take the path that Jesus trod. If you would be a pillar in the church of God. You know what you got to do? You got to dig up that stone that might have been your temptation. It might have been your shortcoming. You got to establish it as a boundary, a dividing line. And then you can be someone that says, look, that's a danger zone. I know because that's where I used to fail. That's where the devil used to trick me up. And I want to give you a little advice. I'm not telling you. You're telling somebody else. Let me give you a little advice. Don't get over there close to that. There's trouble over there. That's the thing that'll take your soul down if you're not careful. That's something that'll cause you unhappiness. That'll cause you to wish you to not went down that path. And that's, you can be someone that others look on and say, I'll tell you this much, the Lord give them a victory and they have built a wall. I've heard some of you testify about deliverance from different types of substances, and it's a wall. You dug out that rock and you made a wall out of it. I'm not going over there. I'm not going to touch that. I'm not interested in that. I've found my joy and my peace and my happiness somewhere else. And that's dangerous over there. And you're willing to tell anybody that comes along that wants to listen, that will listen to you, don't go over there. That's the boundary line. Stay away from that thing over there. So I want to tell you today, if you look out on your life in your mind's eye and you think, Lord, there's just a bunch of rubble. There's a bunch of rocks. You know, we're all here to help one another. We're here to see each other established as a pillar in the church of God. And the second verse of that song says, you must triumph over sin and be cleansed from every evil. The third verse says, you must conquer in His name. Take the Holy Bible way and live beneath the cleansing flood. If we will take the way that the Lord prescribes, if we will conquer those stones and dig them up, and not just dig them up and move them over a little bit, but dig them up and make a wall out of them. Establish a boundary. Put some identifying marks on it. Takes time. All you got to do is move one rock at a time. If you see some rocks in your life and you've been throwing some sparks when you're trying to do your everyday chores, let's start by moving the one that you know you can move. Let's start by establishing where it needs to go. You know, there's times that those of us that have tried to move something heavy, one of the biggest things you need to do is find out what you're going to do with it once you get it picked up. You need to have a plan. How am I going to turn loose of this thing? Where am I going to set it down? And when you start thinking about these rocks in your life, where do I want it? How far away do I want this thing? And then, with God's help, get the thing moved over there. And when somebody comes along and says, "What's that over there?" It says, "That's the boundary line." I'm going to tell you, that's something that almost cost me my soul. And I put this marker up. I put this stone over here. This is something I stumbled over and over again. And if you'll hear me out, I'll tell you, that's a place you need to stay away from. You remember Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, he was able to give advice. And there were, I should have brushed myself up on the story a little bit. You remember those places, that place that he went, that there was a lion on each side chained up? You remember when, I believe it was Christina came, or the next one from his family came through? You remember what happened to those lions? If I remember correctly, those lions were dead. They weren't there anymore. You know, when you pick up the rocks and you move them and you set a boundary and you establish this is something that's a trap, you put a sign on the way and you give clear direction for another generation coming by, you know, dear ones, it'll help the others that's coming behind. I want to be that. I want you, each one, whether you feel like the wall is all crumbled down and it looks like a bunch of rubble and you can't, we got to start. We got to start somewheres. Or if you just realize that there's some rocks cropping up, you know, after a good rain or you till the soil, that's a good time to see the rocks shining. And when the water of the word comes down and begins to expose some rocks, it's not a time to be discouraged. It's a time to pick it up and don't just throw it over out of your path right now, but make a wall out of it. Do you get the thought this evening? Build something that'll define the difference between living for God and failing for God. Put a boundary so that you know exactly which side you're on. It'll be so much easier. There's times that we, now in the age of GPSs and all of that, just recently when the family went for a little vacation a few weekends ago, we kept getting where the house was that we stayed was off the beaten path, and every time we'd turn down this road, it would tell us that we were entering uncharted territory. Proceed with caution. You know, they hadn't mapped all these roads out, and but the more that we pick up the rocks and set the boundaries and make a clear path for others to follow, the more successful we'll find our walk with the Lord. And those coming behind us will find us faithful. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful. I want to take the things that have tried to trip me up, and when God helps me to identify them, I want to make a wall. I don't want to just pick them up and throw them off to the side. I want to make a wall out of them. So it'll be a strong point for me. It'll be a strong point for those that's around me, especially my family, but my church family too. I want y'all to be strengthened. I want us to strengthen one another. So you pray for me.